Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, challenge us, help us get to know who you are better, that we might know who we are better as well. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. God is great and God is good. Let us thank him for our food, or so the prayer goes at many dinner tables all over the place. Of course, the question that probably should be asked is, what does it mean that God, or anyone else for that matter, is good? I mean, isn't good these days just another word for okay? How was the movie? It was good. How did the meeting go? Good. How are you doing? How are things going? Good. Nowadays, good is just sort of fine, sort of humdrum, sort of vanilla. And so why would we bother to care that God is good? Why is that worth saying, that God is okay? Why does it matter? Or to get at this another way, who aspires to be good? I don't know if you're like me, but that just sort of sounds not fun, not exciting, not even all that interesting either. Good sounds a lot like the word ordinary or average. Wouldn't you rather be awesome or be outstanding or be extraordinary? Isn't that how we have a life of meaning and worth? Isn't that how we gain respect and admiration? Isn't that how we leave a legacy and make our mark? To say that someone is good, isn't that just settling for good as enough? I read something this past week about goodness. It was making the point that all the best, most interesting characters in stories, in movies, in books are always the bad guys. They're more fun to write, they're more fun to play, they're more fun to watch. Think about it for a moment. Think about the characters in your mind, in the books you read or the movies you watch that are good. They all seem to be a little bit passive or simple or boring. The only way they get interesting is if they get a little bit of bad mix into them, if they're not all good. Because all those characters tend to be a little bit more interesting, a little deeper, a little more complex, a little bit more exciting. Darth Vader has depth. There's character. There's something going on there. There's a backstory there. Luke Skywalker's always just whiny. Always. The article went on to say, there's a good reason why this is so. Human nature stands closer to evil than to good. Intrigue, scheming, and deception are more instinctual to us than love, goodness, and forgiveness. The vices are first nature, so to speak, whereas virtue is second nature, either a learned response or no response at all. It's easier to figure out ways to cheat the IRS than to solve the problems of hunger or violence. When we are wronged, we can hatch 10 brilliant schemes of revenge, but try to devise even a paltry plan for redeeming a bad situation. Basically, it's hard to believe in goodness because we know how often our own goodness should be called into question. I think we doubt goodness because we know the times that we have done something seemingly good for maybe mixed motives. Sure, I served, but it was because I was feeling guilty. Sure, I was kind, but it's because I knew who was watching. Sure, I did good, but it's because I was hoping for something better in return. And so I think we've learned to doubt goodness, to question it, to disbelieve it, and definitely not to try and seek it out. And yet, what if goodness, at its heart, is the most important, most radical, most influential, most exciting, most transforming, most lasting, most fundamental characteristic there could be? What if goodness has the power to change us and the people around us, our families, our companies, our communities, our world? What if goodness today would actually be greatness? So we probably should stop and make sure we know what we're talking about here. Webster defines good as of a favorable character or tendency, or virtuous, right, commendable, which is really helpful, but not. Because it still sort of leaves the question, okay, so what does goodness mean? What is good? As I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, there's some clarity to be found on what's the opposite. Because there's a good that simply means not bad. But then there's another good that means not useless. And then there's still another good that means not evil. But again, therein may lie the problem. It's easy to define bad or useless or evil. It's easy to recognize it when you see it. But if something isn't bad, does that mean it's good? Or is it just kind of neutral? Maybe this is why good has become average or okay. Because normally we just mean, well, it's not bad, therefore it's good. Frankly, it'll probably also be helpful to recognize that there's different kinds of goodness. There's kind of a moral goodness, and there's a more of a non-moral goodness. On the one hand, I can say someone is good, they did something good. On the other hand, I have a really good hammer. I've eaten at a good restaurant. I've called a good plumber before. And obviously those examples, there's less connotation of a moral goodness. It's just a good hammer. It's got a fiberglass, it's a titanium, it's just a nice hammer. To further complicate matters, we seem to be living in a world where things like goodness have started to become more relative. So you start to have to ask the question, whose goodness are we talking about? Sure, that may be good for you. It's not good for me. So is it good? Does it matter whose goodness we're talking about? We also live in a world where everyone's basically good. I mean, we're not horrible, therefore, aren't we all just good people? As we think about all of this, let me remind you where we are, and then we're going to turn to the scriptures and find hopefully some answers. Last week, we began our summer series working to get to know God Almighty better. And in this series, we're taking a deeper look at the attributes of God. What does the Bible tell us about who God is? But then, as we talked about last week, we also need to recognize and remember that we are called in the scriptures to be godly, which probably means that some of these attributes should be manifesting themselves in us. In other words, there are certain attributes of God that he gives us, that he offers to us, that he encourages us to work towards. Now, and it goes without saying that we're never fully going to live them out like he does. He's God, we're not. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to try. In fact, we're all actually commanded to train ourselves, was the word from last week, train ourselves toward godliness. This isn't something that's going to be automatic. This isn't just going to happen in us. You actually have to work toward this. And so each week during the summer, we're going to be looking at different attributes of God and trying to figure out what is it? What does it mean? How does God live it out? How does God probably define it? And then how can we live out this attribute better in our lives? And so today, we simply are looking to try and understand, what does it mean that God is good? So we'll start today in Psalm 34, verse 8 through 14. This summer, we may be bouncing around from a whole bunch of different passages so we can kind of try and bring the full scriptures to bear on certain topics. Because God is good in one sense in this psalm, but God's going to be good in another sense earlier in the Bible, or maybe Jesus has some things to say about God's goodness. So we'll be kind of jumping around through a lot of passages more this summer. Psalm 34, 8 through 14. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There's a couple things to notice there. First, of course, God is good. Secondly, God does good. And then maybe finally, we are called to be and do good as well. So let's just jump right in. And we'll start with the idea simply that God is good. When I say that he is good, I don't mean that in the same sense as God is nice. Frankly, I also don't mean that God's goodness is about him being holy or righteous either. Instead, goodness is more basic than that, more fundamental, more foundational, really. A.W. Tozer says it this way: God is kind-hearted, gracious, good-natured, and benevolent in intention, and let us remember that God is cordial. He goes on, when I say that God is good and that God has a kind heart, I mean that he has a heart infinitely kind and that there is no boundary to it. When I say that God is good-natured, good and kindly of nature, I mean that he is infinitely so. God is not only infinitely good, he is perfectly good. Because God is never partway anything. When I say that God is kind-hearted, I mean that he is perfectly so. Did you get that? God isn't just a little bit good. He's not mostly good. He's not good when he has a good night of sleep and a really good breakfast. Of course, there are other days, sometimes late at night. There are other times that he's not. He is good all the time, perfectly, fully. And so the psalmist in Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That was our call to worship. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, someone asked him, "Why, good teacher?" And he says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." Speaking of some kind of more comprehensive or foundational aspect of goodness. Again and again, all throughout the scriptures, we're reminded that God is good, and not just good, but perfectly good. In fact, in many ways, God defines goodness for us. He becomes the standard of goodness. God is the measure by which we determine what is good and what is not good. Theologian Wayne Grudem writes, "The goodness of God means that God is the final standard of good, and that all that God is and does is worthy of approval." God is the final standard of good. And this is important because if God isn't the standard, who or what is? Again, kind of getting back to the definition, what does it mean then to be good? How do you determine what is good? How do you determine who is good? Who decides which persons or actions are morally good? Now some will say that the standard of goodness is sort of just an agreed upon thing among humans. Collectively, we look at certain acts and say that one is evil and that one is good. We look at a certain person and we say, Hitler, bad. And we look at Mother Teresa and she is good. And we all can sort of mostly agree upon that. So that's the standard. That's how we determine good from evil. Is we kind of take it's not a vote in that we cast a ballot, but we all kind of recognize these things. Of course, what happens when we don't? Maybe goodness is simply something we know. In our heart of hearts, deep in our soul, I know that that is good. I feel it. And that determines what is good and what is not good. But all of these start to beg then the question, well, then who's goodness? Because what happens when I say something is good and you disagree? Do we take the universal vote, or can something even be truly good if someone disagrees? How can something be good if, like, a whole bunch of people are like, I don't think that's good? Does it work that way? The alternative, I guess, would be if there was some objective standard of goodness higher than we are, and that then becomes the true measure of goodness. But then how do we know what that is? Who determines that? Because you could be like, well, I read in my book that that is good, but if you read in your book that that is good, then again, we're kind of stuck. Helpfully, we don't have to wonder, because the scriptures tell us that God is good. God's goodness becomes our standard for goodness. A good act or a good person is one that meets God's standards. In other words, goodness isn't up for a vote. Goodness isn't felt. Goodness isn't random, but it is determined by God. Goodness is for God, and goodness flows out of the goodness of God. And why? Because God is good. And again, at this point, we start recognizing some of our failings and how we fall short, because if God is the standard of goodness, if the acts of God are good, and that's the standard, then we start to recognize we might need some help if we're hoping to be good. Because sure, maybe I've done something one time just simply for the good of doing it, but I don't know that I'm meeting God's standard for goodness. But here's the thing. It's not just that God is good. He also does good. Psalm 145, verse 6 reminds us that they will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. You see, the Lord, it's not just that he is good, he also does good. The goodness of God flows from God through his good works. You see, it's not enough simply to be good, because if that doesn't manifest itself into action, that's merely being not bad, not evil. But that's not real goodness. And we see this played out all throughout our lives, all throughout the scriptures. We see this played out in creation as God creates abundant life, both in the beginning and ever since. We see God's goodness as he extends blessings to his people and to everyone else. The scriptures reminds us that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Of course, we see God's goodness in his mercy, in his grace, as he sends his son to take our place, despite us being undeserving, unaware, ungrateful, despite knowing that in some ways we never can be that good. But he is good, so he is merciful and gracious. These are just some of the many, many ways that God's goodness manifests itself. Of course, before we leave this part of the sermon, we probably at least need to mention that there are times when God seems to be not good. At least in specific and often very acute moments. I mean, sure, overall God is good, but if we're going to understand that God is good all the time, then we have to also recognize, well, what about those times when God doesn't seem to be good? When bad things happen. When things don't go our way, when tragedy strikes, can God still be good if there are times when that we have to address that? Because otherwise we're going to all walk away being like, yeah, God is good most of the time, except for that one time. Is God's goodness bigger than those situations, than those seasons, than those atrocities? Can God be that good in a world that sometimes hurts? So to begin, first, let's recognize that there is no possible way to adequately address this fully in a subsection of a second point of a sermon on a Sunday morning. Because it's not adequately to address some of this in decades of theological work and counseling combined. And frankly, whenever we try and boil something this big and complex down into greeting card size, it always does more damage than good. And that said, we can't leave a sermon on God's goodness without talking about it. So here we go. The scriptures are clear. Bad things happen. Evil things happen. Hurt happens. Sometimes as the results of sin, sometimes the results of brokenness, sometimes the results of natural causes. As we read and came to understand earlier this year, something truly got broken when we first sinned. Something forever was changed from the intent that God had. And frankly, it is because of God's goodness that we can even recognize this, that we remember that this was not God's original intent. God doesn't like sin or brokenness or bad. He knows it's evil because he is good. Because he is the standard of goodness, he is more than anyone else can recognize, no, that is not okay. I should know, because I am good. If God isn't good, if there is no standard for goodness, it's hard to even say something is bad, but we believe that God is good, and so we're allowed to then say, and that isn't. That is not the way it was supposed to be. That is not the way that God wanted it to happen. And so, like a good parent, our good God hurts with us in our pain. God, like a good parent, our good God holds us in our hurt. And God even helps us through these times as we try together to try and redeem them, try and turn them somehow back towards the good. Not making them good, but trying to redeem them in some way. Of course, that's not always done by simply taking it away. Not always done by simply covering it up. It's not always even done by fixing it. Even if that's what we and God both want to do. Because frankly, sometimes it's through pain that we learn. Sometimes it's through pain that we grow. Sometimes it's through pain that we become stronger and more mature. And even then, that still doesn't make it right. It still doesn't make it good. It's still bad. Sometimes agonizingly so. There are times and situations that are simply horrible, that are simply unfair, that are simply devastating. But it's because God is so good that we know that the bad is that bad. And it's because that God is so good that we know that we're not alone through those hard times. And it's because God is so good that we know that God will restore all things eventually. Because most foundationally, God is good. And God does good. C.H. Spurgeon said it this way, when others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless him that he is good. We must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord, whatever else may be questioned, this is absolutely certainty that Jehovah is good. His dispensations, his gifts may vary, but his nature is always the same. God is good. And so the final question for us then today is simply, how do we respond to God's goodness? How are we changed because He is good? If He, God, is good, then what does it look like for us to be more godly? I think our initial response has to be one of gratitude. We are thankful that God is good, and we are, of course, thankful that God is good to us. As we recognize different ways that God has blessed us, and as we recognize God's grace and mercy towards us, and as we remember that none of that is deserved or earned ever, it should remind us and encourage us of God's abundant goodness. And we should simply be grateful that God is good. At that point, God's goodness should inspire us towards better stewardship. As we strive to make the most of what He has done, as we try and use God's gifts, God's good gifts in our lives, we should be grateful, and then we should try and use them for what He intended, making the most of them, showing our gratitude to the giver. But of course, this also stirs in us a desire to then give, and in this case, to emulate the giver. And so it's through God's goodness to us that we learn that goodness should be our response, both being good and doing good. Bodhi Thone, co-author of best-selling Christian fiction such as The Zion Chronicles, once worked for John Wayne as a scriptwriter. She writes about how that opportunity came about. By the time I was 19, I was commuting to Los Angeles and doing feature articles on different stuntmen and other film personalities for magazines. 4 years later, an article I co-wrote with John Wayne's stuntman won the attention of the Duke himself. One day he called and invited my husband Brock and me to come to his house. He talked to us as if we were friends, showing keen interest in us as individuals. From that day on, I began writing for his film company. Brock helped me with the historical research. We were awestruck. Here was this man who had been in film for 50 years, and he takes a young couple with small children under his wing. Once I asked him, "Why are you doing this? You're so good to us." And he replied, "Because somebody did it for me." Goodness doesn't originate with us. We receive and then we give. God is good to all, enabling us then to be good to others. Since we all have received of His goodness, we are then all called to be and to do good. Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says it this way, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he writes, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, God set it up such that we were made to follow in His example. God prepared some good things in advance for us to do, and He built in a harvest to go with those good things. You'll know the good things that are done because you'll see a harvest because of it. In other words, God's goodness will not just flow through you as you're doing something good, but then God's going to multiply that goodness. Sure, you did something good when you planted that seed, but then God's going to turn that into way more good through His work, through His goodness. So all that's left is for us to then do the good we've been called to do. And as we do, we may find that His goodness is seeping into us and then flowing through us, which all points back to His goodness. Which actually brings us all the way back to where we began. Because it strikes me that the more we know of his goodness, the more we can see how that goodness is infused into all of life. More than that, we can see the blessings of his goodness all around us. And as we continually experience the grace of his goodness, we then strive to live this out, not because others deserve it, and not because of what we can get out of it, and not even because of how it makes us feel, but simply because it's how God has chosen to relate to the world. And it's how he's invited us to live as well. And because of that, we know that goodness really may these days be greatness. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. You are good to us. You are good to your world. You are good in simply who you are. So help us. Lord, first, help us know that. Help us understand your goodness. Help us understand your goodness when we don't feel like life is going very well. Help us understand your goodness when we have trouble seeing some of your blessings in those moments. Help us understand that you are good when we simply look at things that and see hurt and pain and sin and evil. Help us take comfort in that knowledge that you are good, that you want good things, that you do good things. But then, Lord, help us also then be your goodness. Help us do good because of you. Because of the goodness you've given to us, help us give that goodness to others. Because of the goodness you blessed us with, help us then bless others with that goodness. Help us be your hands and feet, that they might see your goodness through us. Because, Lord, if we could even live out a portion of your goodness, that might change everything. Lord, we thank you today that you are good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.